It is time for us to be joined by our friends from the Lakeville Journal. This week in the Lakeville Journal, we take a look at some of the stories that they're following and some things going on in our area. We welcome in Cynthia Hauswinder. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And Janet Manko. Good morning, Janet.
Hi there. Good morning.
We've got a nice feel of summertime going. It's nice.
Oh, that's true. Hard act to follow, being behind Robert and Alan.
they really have it going on.
It's great.
They are just two amazing guys, I'll tell you. Like I said, what they can pack into a 10-minute interview is absolutely amazing.
Unbelievable. And there's new stuff every day. I just talked to them a week ago, and I was like, oh, I better write that down. That's new.
No, it's. I said to them, should I hold on to this, or should I get this on the air right away before you decide to do something else?
Great.
But anyway, let's go to to the paper. It feels like summer in Connecticut now. If you've been vaccinated, you can not have to wear masks a lot of the time. And you see the way things are changing because, once again, the Appalachian Trail season has begun. The covered bridge race is back. I mean, these are all indicative stories of things turning around.
Yes, it's a largely outdoor front page this week. Happy things and tragic things. And, of course, the one non-outdoorsy thing is the housing plan in Salisbury, which has been watched very closely and which, sadly, has really created some division within the town. The Planning and Zoning Commission voted for it to go forward. We have to keep an ear out for what their next step is going to be. It hasn't been announced yet. We have a shortened version of this article here, but we have a longer version online, and we'll have a longer version in next week's Lakeville Journal. We generally only have this kind of treatment for elections and very important votes, and for Salisbury, this was a very, very important vote.
No, to show you how important it is, with the Planning and Zoning meeting, which approved this process with, I want to tell you, a very, very, very lengthy list of conditions. Yeah. We posted it up on our Facebook page, and we're well over 2,000 views. It's 2,000 people that live in Salisbury. Now, obviously, people have watched it a bunch of times by themselves, but this is a topic that the public will be following very closely both ways, those who support it and those who were against it.
And it's tied into the proposed cell phone tower for the Wake Robin Insight, and it will be interesting to see if there are lawsuits that follow any of these approvals, as there's a lawsuit ongoing in Kent against the AT&T tower that was approved by the Siting Council last year.
Yeah, like I said, this is a story that's going to be with us, like the Falls Village story, and like most of these stories that will be with us for months and months and months. But it's nice to see the picture of the covered bridge race back and the Appalachian Trail hiker Steady Eddie.
That's right. We've got more photos of the covered bridge slalom in, I think it's on page A6 on our sports page, and nice to have a sports page again. Beautiful weather. You never know when you plan an outdoor race what the conditions are going to be, but really a gorgeous day to be out. And then I think everybody's been seeing the Appalachian Trail hikers. I think they started early. They're getting up here, what feels a little early to me, but it's hot already. My phone said it's going to be about 90 degrees this weekend, so probably nice to be out in the woods. But if you are out in the woods, watch out for record-breaking year for ticks. And as Patrick Sullivan, our reporter, said, they say that every year, but this year there statistically is quite a boost in ticks. And of course, May and June is the months you really have to watch out for them. They're very small. Soapy showers. We'll have an article next week on permethrin and DEET and other tools to fight the little ticks with.
And I can tell you that the ticks are out in force because the earliest my Georgia, every time she comes in, and they're tiny. They're tiny at this time of the year. But I've taken five or six ticks off for a time. And I have the type of tick medicine that when the ticks get on the dog, they will die. They'll latch in and they'll die. But I'd still much rather get it beforehand, before they latch on to the dog. Now, you've got a story on what happened at the Great Falls, and I want to mention something here. The way you have covered it and other papers have covered it, I am so impressed with. I'm very, very, very upset with the Torrington Register. They had a reporter call somebody who identified the person who was drowned without the family identifying it. It was a friend of a friend. And when I saw that story, I just, my heart sank. You've got a story on it. following all the proper protocols and all the information on a tragic story, once again, out of the Great Falls.
Well, and thank you for saying that. And I will say we do follow the police advice on this, which was we are not saying who the person is, and we are not saying that somebody drowned. We're saying we haven't found this person yet, which, when you think about it, is correct.
Yep.
You know, things happen. So I believe you probably, well, I guess you know who it is. I believe it's a local person. My impression is that it was people who were out on the river boating. I think this gentleman was 38 years old. Apparently, there are rope swings that different people have at different spots along the river. And the river looks very placid and benign right now, as it always looks, but it's very treacherous. There's a lot of weeds. I think Patrick described it as down trees, silty stretches, weeds, and rocks that have little eddies that can pull your leg in, as we know from past tragedies. We're already, sadly, keeping track of how many, you know, issues on the river require assistance and potentially have loss of life with them. And we're hoping that people will show a little bit more care, and that as the other lakes and swimming, you know, actual recreational areas open up in the state, that people will not come to this place where swimming is not allowed. The search for the person was stopped early this week, and the state police said we're delaying it until tomorrow, Friday, when they'll begin searching again. They would not say what the reason is, but I think the general assumption is that the water level is going to drop because it's not raining this week, but also that that the body is likely to, if this person is underwater, that the body is likely to float to the top and it'll be.
And the river was running extremely strong at the time this happened, and once again, it is somebody from around here, and it was purely an accident. Somebody basically leaning over and falling into the river, but the river is so strong, people don't understand the danger. It looks very placid, but it's not. And it's something we have, as people that report news, have to deal with on a year-to-year basis. It's tough. It really is. Move on, on inside right now. Once again, I love the picture of the bear standing up.
That's a good one, isn't it?
They truly are amazing creatures. They really are. The Tarrant Town meeting has approved the budget. They've set a mill rate, and today's the day for Falls Village budget.
Yes. Everybody's moving through slowly. I think Salisbury is...
They're done.
Oh, they're done. Okay. Yeah, I'm losing track. And I guess North Canaan, I think, is still coming up. I think Kent is tomorrow.
Kent is tomorrow. It's
Falls Village is tomorrow. Tomorrow's Falls Village budget hearing. I know, there's a lot to keep track of. Sorry. But if you read the paper, we have all of the dates in there. We've been continuing to cover. And then discussions about the Falls Village Firehouse, which is a very interesting, complicated conversation. So, you know, their old antique firehouse, very tiny, compared to the beautiful new emergency services center on Route 7. And there's a complexity, as is often the case in small towns where things were built before zoning, was the Falls Village Inn actually owns part of the land on which the firehouse is built. And the Falls Village Inn uses a lot of the parking around the old firehouse because people come for burger night, which is so popular and wonderful, and the park all over the place. A lot of cars there. And there's a garage across the street, so there's parking there. So it's actually a sort of a fulcrum point in downtown Falls Village, which now is getting the new coffee shop, which has been delayed because of a septic issue that seems like it's going to be easy to fix. The inn is busy. There's the new art studio. There's 100 Main. So there's a lot more activity going on there. And then the question is, what can happen to the old firehouse, which is a cool old building, to make it a useful, not abandoned, well-maintained part of the village?
It's hopefully they can work out all. For such a small piece of land, hopefully this all can be worked out to everybody's satisfaction. That's
right. Yeah. And then with planning and zoning, it's like in Lakeville, we have our wonderful firehouse, and there was a lot of dispute about what the use could be, and there were some interesting proposals for how to use it that the town turned down, leaving the building empty for quite some time. So it'll be interesting to see how people either support or challenge whatever ends up being built into this building. They are talking about having an affordable apartment in the upstairs and either one or two commercial spaces downstairs.
All right. And we don't want to leave our friends in Cornwall. Their town meeting is coming up tomorrow as well.
It's going to be a busy day for the staff tomorrow.
All right. A good story, and you just mentioned about the uses of the building. Well, this applies over now to Cornwall, because you've got a lengthy story by Lala Honkin on the debate in Cornwall about the home business regulations.
Right. This is a long-term conversation, and it's been something that's been brought up in all of our area towns, even before COVID, but of course during COVID now, so many more people working remotely, working from home. And the debate, as Leila describes in her article, is there's a difference between working at home and having a home business, which is someplace that attracts people to come and park and use your septic or whatever. So whether you have like a home massage, or whether you have any of the many things that people could have people coming onto their property with, is a different use than I'm at home and I'm working on remote. And complicated and a lot of anxiety. And because it's not 100% crystal clear, like, what is the difference? They have to set these new regulations. And, you know, as we discussed on the affordable housing proposal in Salisbury, you have to make a very detailed list of, you know, which we also have on A1 in Patrick's story. The list of conditions is very specific, like, you know, whether or not you can have curtains and what color the curtains are on the street side, and whether there's leaded, you know, mullions and muttons on the windows. So they're going to have to come up with a sort of super detailed list for Cornwall and hope that it's not crushing, but also hope that it's not too permissive, and it will, as everything, adjust over time.
All right. And paddle tennis in Cornwall now delayed until at least 2022.
Yeah. So happy it's paddle and not pickleball. Oh, sorry, did I say that? So paddleball, a very popular sport here, a very classic New England sport. Gordon Ridgway came to Lakeville, which is a big paddle center for the area, to try and figure out if they should build their own court. It is really a great way for many people up here to get through the winter. It's outdoors, it's fun, it's very social, and it's a great workout.
All right, on page A6, lots of color pictures, back on the paddle again, once again, the river race. But you also have an interesting story, which I talked about a little bit this week, and that is Lime Rock Park is offering free COVID vaccination.
Right, which is so great. And so if you want to come to the track, if you come on the Sunday, the tickets are very reduced. I think it's like $5 or something. And so we, Skip Barber, who is still, you know, running Lime Rock Park, although there is now a trio of new owners in charge of the park, things seem to, at least for the moment, be pretty much the same. Memorial Day weekend, of course, is their first big event weekend, but there's already a lot of activity there. There's a lot of the car clubs and things going on there. And the first of this year's fishing derbies at the Northwest Rod and Gun Club here in North Canaan, and Zach McAuliffe breaking a record as a golfer, but really great photos from Tom Brown on, again, a wonderful day for very experienced river people to be out paddling.
All right, I want to go to the opinion pages, your editorial. Janet, better to fight or find an answer?
Right, the big question in life, right? But we see it right now in what's happening in Falls Village and Salisbury with affordable housing. It's become a situation where the two sides seem to have really become entrenched with their ideas, and there comes a point where towns are paralyzed and unable to do anything. It seems like this is a point where a lot of the towns, their committees, their leaders have come up with some answers, and those can be made better by discussion, but there comes a point where people just seem to be thinking about their debate points moving forward instead of practical solutions. So this is what we talk about, and try hard to think about how far it is worth it to go with that.
It's we see it not only in our own communities, we see it nationwide, we see it worldwide. Look what's happening once again with Hamas and Israel.
You know, I almost mentioned that in this editorial. It's like, you know, I don't think I want to go there moment. Yeah,
but it's so true.
It's really true.
There's just certain things that, for some reason, nobody wants to find an answer, because if you want to find an answer, you can find an answer. So that's what makes the editorial so great. It's local, but it applies really to everything, whether it's local, national, or international. Before we get to the letters and to the columns, once again, I love turning back the pages. It's something where people who have now moved into our area can get a quick primer on what's happened in the area. And we also remind them that for people that have moved back in the area, there are archived editions of the paper that are in the library, right?
That's right. They're at Scoville Memorial Library, and they have not only hard copies and microfilm, but of course it's been all of our editions and other newspapers in the area have been digitized, and they're available online and really fascinating. So if you see anything in turning back the pages that seems of interest to you, don't hesitate to go to the Scoville Memorial website and investigate further, because you can. Every week, Norma Bosworth, who writes this column, finds something she can't quite fit in. It's a story on the front page that's fascinating. You know, it doesn't really fit into this format. But, you know, she and we encourage you to go and take advantage of that. All of the history of this area is there at Scoville Library's website.
And you've got a very small, short, interesting letter, and it really speaks words. Towers versus Poles by Lynn Curtis, talking about all the telephone poles that line our roads and what the roads were like before those telephone poles were up and what people must have felt like when they went up. And you can update that now looking at cell phone towers and things like that. That's a very interesting letter, along with lots of other letters, once again.
It's true. Lynn Curtis found a way to succinctly make us think differently about the way we're looking at our region. And it's true. We tend to look past those telephone poles that we have looked at for so long now. You know, it just, they've become part of the landscape. We can look past them. But when you look right at them, yeah, they're certainly, the view shed isn't helped by them. And yet, boy, we like to get electricity.
Yeah, and once again, you've got letters on just about everything that are there. What we'll go now, take a look at on the Viewpoint page, Lonnie Carter's article, Inspiration, and some of the places where it can be found, and the Mystical Bonanza Bus Ride by John
right,
Swan.
The Bonanza Bus Ride, John Swan. You know, our readers should be sort of familiar with him by now. He is a guest commentator who writes every so often. He moved up to Maine, but, you know, he certainly was part of the landscape around here himself, and explains one of the ways that he experienced life here, taking that Bonanza bus ride down to New York from Cornwall Bridge, and just a fascinating little anecdote he tells. So do give that a read. Only he can tell the story this way.
Well, anybody who has, you know, when I lived in Kingston, New York, there was the Trailways bus terminal. And I have taken buses out of Kingston, New York. I have years ago taken a bus that used to stop at Stoney's Garage on Route 7 and head down towards New York. And if you were smart, you would have taken notes on those rides, because no matter how short or how long they are, they make amazing stories.
It's like that great song, America, by Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah. And you know what? I know the person that was sitting along when that song was written and sung.
Cool.
And it's just another great song. All right, let's move over to a compass, because we are getting to that point where, once again, things are opening up, and there's lots of different things to talk about.
Right, I'm going to get through compass very quickly so we can have time to talk about towns and villages. But, of course, Peter Steiner, our beloved cartoonist, political cartoonist, has a new book out. He's a great writer. I actually particularly love Peter's books. This is the second book in a new series set in Nazi Germany, and pretty transparently, Peter wants it to be a metaphor for Trumpism. We have a quartet of movies at the Mahaley, which is very excited to be opening up to the public again. It's two really brutal, difficult movies to watch, surrounded by two, like, literally La 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 movies, the movie La La Land and Hairspray. We have a new jigsaw puzzle in time for summer. It's not always nice out. Sometimes you want to be indoors. Tom Goldenberg, a painter from Sharon, Connecticut, who we have featured in Compass in the past, has donated one of his beautiful watercolors to us. The photo on our page doesn't really do it justice. It's gorgeous. Information on how to order it there. Janet Block, who I love as a person, but also has those wonderful pear paintings that many people love, was working with Bellevue Hospital in New York City and donated each frontline healthcare worker a 2x2-inch canvas of her work. Ed Furman, who's been generously donating thoughts on streaming horror and comedy horror, which is a very interesting subgenre. And Deborah Lexinus is writing about kindness. But we are super excited and very proud of our Towns and Villages special issue. I think it's got to be the biggest one we've ever done.
I was going to say, just holding it in my hands, I'm going to say probably weighs about a quarter of a pound. But the great thing about Towns and Villages, and especially at this time, and so you put this together every year, this isn't a special year, this is just a more comprehensive year, but with all the different people that are experiencing our area either part-time or have moved here, this is what you would call a magazine that will sit on your book table or should sit on your book table or some sort of guide for you to use all year long to learn more about the area.
You can really read it. It's a very, very interesting issue. Great articles by Deb Alexinas explaining what a land trust is, what an easement is. There's a lot of subtle description of how different properties are protected. But, you know, the subtext is what Blake Levitt said. This area doesn't look the way it looks by mistake. Like, people work very hard at it. And I'm so happy to say advertisers really understood the importance of this and really stepped up and supported it. So we had the room for our writers to really spread out and try to explain stuff. And I will say, there was a challenge to a conservation property this year, and this is really inspired by that and how fragile and important it is to protect these easements. But great photos, great articles. Please do read it, and please do keep it. It's got listings not only of important services in each town. You can just open the page and find your town, but also there's the website. And I want to apologize to Jamie Casey because we did this twice now. We said that Sharon is part of Torrington Area Health District. It is not. Sharon has its own health district, one of the only towns in the region that has one, but I'm going to call Jamie and we'll do a story explaining what a health district is and why Sharon has it.
You better watch out. You don't cross Jamie Casey.
Oh, my gosh.
No,
because we love her.
I know. She's great. I'll tell you what. I'll tell anybody who works in any of these town halls and deals with the public, and it's and deals with it, you know what, you couldn't pay me enough to do this, because it's not easy work at all, and it only becomes harder each year. But the great thing about this magazine insert is that really, for people that are new to the area, they get to find out about their towns very quickly.
And there's so many resources listed here for each town. And, boy, we do work hard every year to try to get everything right. But every year something comes up that we missed in one line in one town. But do let us know if you find anything and use it as a resource. It's really valuable and a keeper.
As in living a normal life, mistakes happen. Boy, do I know that more than anybody else. Well, the Lakeville Journal is available, of course, newspaper form, delivered to your home, and you can pick it up around the area. Same for the Millerton News, but also their website is tricornernews.com, tricornernews.com. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And once again, tricornernews.com is the site where you can find them on the internet.